Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into on a Friday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you doing?
Doing well. The playoffs are almost here, Rosh. So I'm excited and nervous at the same time.
Listen, you have a lot to be nervous about, my friend. Despite the fact that the Lakers are playing on Saturday, I wanted to start off with you with the Clippers and the Mavericks getting that 12:30 slot on Sunday. Lawrence Frank talked to the media, and I do have to give him credit. He's always been open and upfront about the status of Kawhi Leonard. It reminded me a little bit of last year, though, I got to be honest with you, where he talked about Kawhi's status, because, again, you got to remember, a year ago, Kawhi looked incredible in game one. I mean, that was playoff Kawhi, and we're thinking, oh, boy, here we go. Like, the Clippers can go on a run. Had a really great, I think, like first half or whatever, and then he tweaked it, and then that was it. He was gone for the playoffs, and obviously the Clippers got bounced because you have to remember Paul George was not there. So once again, no Kawhi, no Paul George. Lawrence Frank met with the media. Our good friend Joey Lind basically asked him, you know, is this gamesmanship or what's happening? And it's not. I mean, there is inflammation. On the positive side, you know, it's not like he's hurt the MCL or the ACL, but this is a serious problem. So big picture, Grant, your thoughts on the Clippers, but also specifically on Kawhi going into game one.
Yeah, so I'm just going to give out a timeline here of what happened yesterday, just so people have a clear understanding. So early in the morning, Shams Charania went on to Stadium Live for his playoff preview, and he said, you know, according to his sources, Kawhi received an injection into his knee to help combat the inflammation, and that he's been doing intensive workouts and that he's been doing 5-on-5s. And everyone's like, oh, great. He got the shot weeks ago. He's ramping up. And then Shams Charania said he's expected to play game one. So everyone's like, okay, great. We're all good then. Everything's fine. Then it's announced by many of the Clippers beat reporters mere hours later that there will be a emergency, I guess you could say, presser with Lawrence Frank. And he kind of shot down everything that Shams said. He said that Kawhi, you know, hasn't done 5-on-5. A running joke around Clippers social media yesterday was that Lawrence Frank said Kawhi has been doing mental preparation, which is very interesting. And, you know, basically Lawrence Frank said, look, the swelling hasn't responded the way that the team wanted it to, that he's still, you know, he hasn't been doing any contact, which is very, very concerning. And then, you know, he kind of ended it saying Kawhi's questionable for game one. And that is just such a dagger to the heart of Clippers fans yet again in April. This is almost exactly a year from the last time we got a sort of a presser from Lawrence Frank about a Kawhi Leonard injury. And, you know, Arash, I don't know what to make of it, but my sense right now is that Kawhi Leonard is not going to play in game one. I don't think he's even going to play in game two.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's just the sense I'm getting, because if the inflammation, here's the thing. If the inflammation hasn't gone down to the point where he's doing contact drills at this point on Friday, they play Sunday and he hasn't done any contact drills.
Yeah.
And that is not a good sign. You have to go through a little bit of a ramp up process with your team in terms of a full practice and stuff like that to get back into it. he hasn't, I mean, by what Lawrence Frank says, I don't know who to believe, Shams or the actual president of basketball operations of the Clippers. I think you know who I'm going to take there.
Yeah.
So it's such an, again, another clouded situation. It's also a little bit of a good thing that they didn't just completely rule him out yet. That means that, it's not, it's still up in the air. But then, something happened late last night, on Thursday, where the Clippers social media posted pictures from the practice the previous day. And in the background of a James Harden and Ivica Zubac pick and roll was Kawhi Leonard on the practice floor in practice clothing with no brace on his knee.
Okay.
And I don't know if they tried to hide it, but Clipper fans found it. And I don't know if that means that it's kind of a smokescreen. I'm not sure, because he wasn't really doing much. He was just on the practice floor in his practice clothing, looking at what the team was doing. But it's just, it's such another clouded situation. And I guess, Arash, we're just going to have to wait and see until Sunday to see what his, if his name pops up on the report. But me personally, I'm preparing for him to miss games one and two. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, because you brought up a really good point. The fact that, like, he has not done contact drills. He has not done 5-on-5. He will be out in terms of from the last time he played to game one, I think it's exactly 3 weeks. And so I don't know how you ramp him up to get ready for game one. The concern that I have is that if he misses games one and two, and I mean, now we're really talking, because here's the thing, the Clippers have never, and correct me if I'm wrong, they've never really like ruled out Kawhi. Remember when he was out for the postseason, it was just like, we had the feeling, obviously, that he wasn't going to come back. He was in street clothes. Like, he was not playing, but, so not surprising that they wouldn't completely rule him out, but the fact that he's questionable, the fact that he has not done contact drills in 3 weeks, has not done 5-on-5 in 3 weeks. Again, it doesn't mean that he couldn't be a game time decision and go in game one, but I really am concerned about his status for the first round series and, if he misses
the first two games. I wanted to say something real quick. Sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to say, at this point, I think that this series might be an indicator of an era, right? This might be the end of this 2-1-3 era. This might be the continuation of this era. This is a very, this series can determine fates for a lot of these guys on this team. And I'm seeing a lot of talk right now from the Clipper fans that have tickets for next year at the wall, and for people that are really bought into this team. They want, like, even if Kawhi Leonard is at 70%, they're like, go out there.
Yeah.
This is our era. This is this timeline's final chance to win a title in a lot of people's eyes. So if you're feeling like 75%, but the team says, I know the team kind of controls a lot of it. That's been the main issue. But if you're at 75%, and even a Kawhi Leonard at 75% in this Dallas series would be incredibly beneficial, just to have him on the floor to kind of distract the defenders of Dallas from, Paul George and James Harden, that's a plus. So a lot of fans are really frustrated to the point where there's like, hey, if you're even three quarters of what you are, get out there. Like, it doesn't even matter, So this is such a crucial series, not just for the team, but for a lot of these individual guys in terms of where they stand in their legacies, where they stand in on the Clippers. Look, there's two guys that are up for contracts after this year, and they still haven't gotten the deal done. I know James Harden can't until after the finals, but Paul George hasn't been extended. This is a put up or shut up series. And if you don't have Kawhi, I mean, I don't see this Clippers team winning. I barely see them having a chance with Kawhi Leonard. That's just how good Dallas has been. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Kawhi is obviously appreciative that he's with a franchise that doesn't leak information. I think that's maybe why Lawrence Frank had that emergency press conference. But also, listen, if he is hurt, they're not going to push him out to play. But I agree with you. I mean, now we're getting into, this is 2024. The only time that you've had a healthy Kawhi and had a healthy Paul George was in the bubble in 2020. Since then, we've not had this time of year. Like April, May, we have never had a healthy. And by the way, we still don't, right? Because Kawhi's not healthy. And if he takes the court, he's not 100%. But I agree with you. GK, what's your thoughts on that? Again, Kawhi has not played in 3 weeks. He's not 100%. But at some point, it's the playoffs. And if you miss game one, for example, and they lose that, I can't imagine that he wouldn't play in game two. And then if, you know, because listen, Grant, like this played out like this a couple of years ago, right? Where the Clippers lost games one and two at home, and then they were this close to losing game three. And it was a weird series. But GA, I mean, like at some point, Kawhi's got to get out there in the postseason. And I know he's not 100%, but it's the playoffs. And if you get bounced in round one, you got a long time off before next season.
Now, I 100% agree with all of you. I think that this is put up or shut up time. It's like, what are we doing here, right? But we are not in that era anymore. We're not in that Jordan era where we have a flu game, or we're not in that era where, you know, somebody plays hurt, like they tear their ankle and they still go to the free throw line. Thank you, Kobe. You know, we're not in that era anymore. We're not in that mindset anymore. We're in that mindset of like, okay, well, if they're not 100%. They are not ready to go. We're not going to put them in, which is tragic, which is sad, because that's what playoffs are so great for the fan. Now for the player, I get it. I get that you want to be 100%, but man, where's your level of competition? Mm-hmm. Where's your level of like, man, I want this so bad. I hate to lose. Scheffler from, for the Masters, winning the Masters, he's like, man, I hate to lose. I just don't want to lose. I don't know. Like that competitive spirit, is it still there for some of these guys? I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just asking. Like for some of these guys, you know, forget 100%. Go 75. I'm totally fine with that, because it is the playoff. It is time right now for you just to put it all out there. This is another reason why I love hockey, because those guys just don't care. They're like, shoot, I'll be 50. I don't care. Like, they'll be bleeding on the floor and they will still go out there. Right. So it's a different era. It's a different time. It's, not the era of basketball that I enjoy. I think this is another reason why, for me personally, I miss that Jordan, Barkley era, Shaq, even Shaq era, Kobe era, because those guys would still go on the floor at 75% because it's the playoffs. So that I'm going to miss, but you know, his health is his health, and he has to, you know, he knows, I guess, if and when he can go out there.
Grant, I really think the point that you made is so significant, because, listen, they have been cautious. And I know when they brought these guys in 2019-2020 season. So, listen, you're thinking big picture. You're thinking about the next 4 years, for example. We're at that four-year mark. And I think the time period for saying, hey, like, listen, if he's not 100%, you know, don't push it. We are to that point now. It's like, what are we doing here? And again, this is a comment that a Clippers, executive told me. This is way back when they had Lob City and they broke that group up. They said there are cheaper ways to lose in the first round in terms of like what's our ceiling, right? And it's like what, how far can this team go? And I think Clipper fans, and I want you to chime in here, like, they're tired about thinking about next year, because like, if Kawhi, if you can give us 75% of playoff Kawhi is amazing. Now, perhaps he can. But I'm saying, like, they're not going to run this back. In my view, like, even if it's a classic 7-game series, like, listen, if you get bounced in round one again, like, it's going to be hard to imagine them saying, all right, like, fingers crossed, Kawhi and Paul George will be healthy next year. Like, they've never been healthy. Again, that's why they brought Russell Westbrook back. That's why they made the James Harden trade. Because at this point, you cannot count on both of those guys being healthy this time of year.
Yeah, and I think that if we go back, the last time these two, Paul George and Kawhi, played together in any playoff series together was 2021, when they played the Mavericks. That's 3 years. So since then, in 2022, they missed the playoffs. They lost two play-in games and missed the playoffs. In 2023, they lost to the Suns in the first round. And now this year, if they get bounced again in the first round, you have to take a serious look at what this roster construction is, because there's no reason why this team should lose in the first round. I know you're playing Dallas. I get it. You have four future Hall of Famers on your team and two current All-Stars that were All-Stars this year and two that could be All-NBA players this year. If you lose in the first round, that is just a dagger. I mean, you have to, and let me put it into perspective for guys like James Harden and Paul George. What if Paul George, after the season, he says, look, I'm up for a contract, and every time we get to the playoffs, I either have to do it myself, or Kawhi's injured, or I'm injured. So how can I trust this organization to get me a ring when I have the ability to go to a Philadelphia or back home to Indiana in a better situation and get a max contract? And I know that he loves it in Los Angeles, but for Paul George, if this happens again where he has to carry the load of the team for the second straight, or I guess third straight playoff run, it really matters to him too, and James Harden as well. What if you don't have Kawhi Leonard and James Harden has to be that 1A, 2 guy? Now his role kind of ups, and what does he think of the team? Because year after year after year, you keep having either one of Paul George or one of Kawhi or both out. So for the players themselves individually, it should be frustrating too, and that's, you know, that's just something I feel like should ignite a fire in them. Like, hey, we cannot go out in the first round anymore. I'm sick of losing in the first round. I don't know if that's their mentality. I hope it is. But around the team and around the organization, that should be the mentality. And I just don't know what happens if they do exit in the first round, if they flame out and say Kawhi misses the first three games of the series, Arash. Like, what if they flame out in five games? You have to seriously take a look at that roster and be like, let's rethink things. Let's get younger. Let's get more athletic. Because, you know, I know I'm putting myself way ahead of the curve here and in terms of like what the predictions are, because everything could go right too. But as a Clipper fan, we like to look at the negatives in a lot of things, unfortunately. But it's really, you guys have a great point to where if this happens again, to where back-to-back years, you are first round exits for a team that has championship finals type talent and aspirations, there has to be some changes made. And I know that they're very stubborn up there in the front office in terms of, you know, roster kind of degradation. They don't really like to take a lot of guys out of that roster. They more like to add or retool. Yeah. But at this point, you have to, if that happens again.
Yeah. By the way, the Hawaii home of the Clippers is the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. So that'll be a bright and early tip off on Sunday in Hawaii. That's a 9:30 a.m. tip in Hawaii. Before we head to break, I want to talk about the Lakers-Nuggets series. Again, that tips off on Saturday night. Listen, we all think that the Lakers have a puncher's chance in this. I think we all agree, however, that if that is going to happen, if the Lakers are to pull the upset, they got to win one of these first two. And I kind of think it has to be game one. I mean, if they lose on Saturday night, that would be 9 straight wins for the Nuggets over the Lakers. But if, again, to your point, Grant, and you made this point yesterday, like if they just get that one, even if it's a last second double overtime, if you can just get that win, it's kind of like when a team gets the first points on the board, you know, that changes the whole mood of the team. Again, your thoughts on the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets?
Yeah, I know that the consensus is that the Nuggets are much better, but me and Jake Dicker and Brandon were talking yesterday. Jake just randomly texted me and Brandon and he was like, why do I have this growing sense that LeBron is going to do something special in this series? And I told him, like, there's this deep inner voice inside of me that's going, hey, Grant, take the Lakers in this series. Hey, Grant, watch out for the Lakers. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it is LeBron and AD. I don't know if it's that. But I just feel like, Arash, if you get a great series from D'Angelo Russell, if you get a great series from Gabe Vincent, and I have seen D'Lo kind of turn, you know, flip the script on what he's been in terms of an offensive player, if you get those two, I like the Lakers to compete with the Nuggets. And you know, like you mentioned, all you have to do is win one to get that swagger back, you know, to get that kind of confidence that you can beat this team. That's kind of the block, I feel like, down the stretches of a lot of these games. Like, we just cannot do it. We cannot beat this team. If you can once, you can, you now you go into every game saying, hey, look, we just beat you. We can do it again and again and again and again if we keep doing the same thing. While it won't be easy, I still will give the Lakers a puncher's chance in this series just because you're getting them on fresher legs. You're getting them in the first round as opposed to a third round series after you played the Warriors last year. So I'm trying to talk myself back into a Lakers, maybe pushing it to seven and seeing where it goes, just because I can't ever undermine the talent of LeBron and AD. I just can't in a playoff series, just judging by how they looked last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing for them is just getting that first win. And what that does is, like, they know they can compete with the Nuggets. Again, when you go back to that series a year ago, yes, they got swept. Okay, we know that. However, they almost came back from 20 down in game one, had a ton of confidence following that game one loss. They had a lead in the fourth quarter of games two, three, four. They were not able to close out. In this series, let's just say it's game one, and I really think that that's significant, because if you steal home court and you got a series lead, and, like, listen, then they would go into game two trying to take a 2-0 lead, and that's probably not going to happen. But, like, game one is so significant in terms of that mindset and really telling them, and they know this, but, like proof of concept, this is different. We got swept a year ago. Now we're up 1-0 in the series. Now we've, you know, like it's not like we've lost like nine straight games. So again, very big game tomorrow night. The playoffs start. I can't wait. Grant, you're the best. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Karp to talk about the National Hockey League, which I know G.K. loves. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground, when
we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's now bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Steve Karp. Carpy, it's finally set. We were kind of wondering, you know, how the chips would fall. The Vegas Golden Knights get the Dallas Stars in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They do get to defend their Stanley Cup championship, but tough draw here. Mm-hmm. Steve, your thoughts, your initial thoughts going into game one?
They should have beaten Anaheim last night and gone to Edmonton.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot better for them, in my opinion, to face. I know this will sound insane, but they're better off facing Connor McDavid and Draisaitl than the Dallas Stars collectively. I just think they would have matched up better with Edmonton than Dallas. That being said, if they can get everyone healthy, and I don't know what Alex Pietrangelo's status is. He's been out with some sort of illness for, 3 weeks now, maybe. And there's nothing that tells me he's drawing back in Monday night for game one. All right. Whereas I think maybe Mark Stone and Will Carrier will be playing. I'm not sure about Pietrangelo. They have missed him during this stretch, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. You know, he gets a lot of criticism. And some of it is justified, but I'd rather go with Pietrangelo on the ice and not have him available.
Yeah. What does it tell you about this team? Again, you know, the Ducks, clearly they've been done for quite some time. I mean, like, the fact that they couldn't beat the Ducks in a game that they wanted to win, I mean, what does it tell you about this team?
Sometimes it's just the matchup on a given night. You know, Anaheim's playing a lot of young guys.
And, yeah.
You know, Gauthier was making his NHL debut. He picked up an assist. You know, Frank Vatrana was playing for his future. He has a hat trick. You know, Anaheim always seems to come up and play Vegas tough. Hmm. They don't always beat them, but they show up. And, you know, they played Lucas Dostal in goal last night. He played pretty well. Normally we see John Gibson in for the Ducks, and it usually doesn't end well for Anaheim. So, you know, I was talking to Steve Carroll, the Ducks broadcaster, the play-by-play radio guy last night before the game, and I told him, I said, I believe Pat Verbeek could get this thing going the right way. They're drafting guys. They're getting rid of guys who really don't want to play there. I just kind of like the direction he's trying to get the Ducks going in. You know, and our Derek Lee, who covers them so well for us, you know, he was there last night, and I didn't get to talk to Derek, but he could tell, you know, in his writing, you could see that he thinks things may be heading in the right direction for this franchise. So sometimes you just don't match up with a certain team on a given night. I think that's what happened to Vegas last night.
Vegas has really just not been able to stay healthy this season. When you were on that New York road trip with them, that was sort of the attack around that team, is that like if they can get healthy, if and here we are, first round of the playoffs. I mean, Mark Stone, that's kind of been like the biggest story. I mean, the captain of the team has not been healthy. I mean, Carpe, it doesn't seem like it'll change for the postseason. Just touch on, I mean, this team has just not been healthy this entire season.
They have never had their complete lineup that they anticipated having on opening night back on October 10th.
Yeah.
All right. Now, fortunately, they've had sufficient depth. You know, Pavel Dorofeev has had a good season. They brought him up from Henderson. Paul Cotter, you know, once again started the season here. He did fine. Ben Hutton and some of the other guys they've had have filled in very nicely. That said, you know, you're Kelly McCrimmon, the GM of the Knights. You built the team for a specific reason. You made trades for a specific reason. And when you don't have all those pieces together, it really does impact your performance. I mean, there's just no getting around that. You know, you feel like you're plugging holes in the dike all the time. You're like the little Dutch boy. But here's Vegas' thing now, all right? Playoffs start Monday, right?
Yep.
You're going to have the majority of the guys you anticipated having with you. So there won't be excuses. Bruce Cassidy's not an excuse guy. Credit to him, by the way, for that. He will never make an excuse for not having this guy or that guy in the lineup. He'll go with the hand he has. He'll play who he has available. All right? So they're going to have to figure out in the next couple of days who's in, who's out, who plays with who. All right? And that's going to be a key. And one of the biggest components of all this, you mentioned Mark Stone. Where do you play Tomas Hertl, who they just got from San Jose at the trade deadline? And he's been their best faceoff guy in the circle. He's winning like 70% of his draws. He's a net presence in front. He's had points in, what, 4 of the 6 games he's played for Vegas. You're going to have to find somebody to put him with. I'm thinking Stone, Hurdle, Chandler Stephenson as your second line, your first line being Barbashev, Eichel, and Jonathan Marchessault. So, you know, Cassidy's going to have to figure this out in the next couple of days, as well as his defense, because he still doesn't know if he's going to have Petrangelo. What do you do with Alec Martinez, who obviously his best days are behind him, but the guy's got 3 rings? Yeah. How do you not play him with his experience, right?
Yep.
You know, so, you know, they got a few things to figure out between now and Monday night. Plus, who's starting the goal for the Knights? Aiden Hill did not look great in that third period last night. He gave a couple bad goals, in my opinion. Shots he needs to be able to stop. So, you know, one thing Frank Vetrano's shooting, yeah, it's quite another one. It's Jason Robertson and Rupi Hintz and Pavelski and Jamie Benn and those guys. I mean, the Stars have a really, really explosive offensive lineup.
Want to get your thoughts on the other playoff series in our region. It is Groundhog Day, basically, for the Los Angeles Kings, finishing third in the Pacific, 99 points, and the reward is playing the Edmonton Oilers, third consecutive year. The last two did not go well. They were bounced in the first round. They were both really good series. You know, the first one went to seven. A year ago, it went to game six. Really probably should have went to game seven again before they lost at home. Carpi, I don't have a great feeling once again. I think it'll be a good series. I think it'll be another six or seven game series. Just right. A bad matchup for the Kings. Your thoughts on that?
I agree with you. These teams are so familiar. I don't see either one dominating. I think it goes six or seven. And I think it'll all come down to a couple things. Can the Kings stay out of the penalty box and keep McDavid to playing 5-on-5 hockey? And can Cam Talbot outplay Stuart Skinner? And that, you know, these playoff series, you get a hot goalie like we saw with Vegas last year with Aiden Hill.
Yeah.
It carries you a long way. You can win a series. You can win a Stanley Cup. I mean, you know, the Aiden Hill who played last night, if he's in net for Vegas, they're in trouble, okay, if he plays the way he played last night. So if you're the Kings, you know, you gave up four goals to Chicago last night, and you were fortunate enough to get that call, which allowed you to tie the game up late, and then, you know, you won it early in overtime. You know, you got to stay out of the box. You got to, and then when you have the man advantage, you got to take advantage of it, full advantage. I mean, that's why power plays exist. And, you know, the Kings do have people who can put the puck in the net. So, but I agree, Arash. I think it's a tough series.
Yeah.
For LA. And I don't know if they would have been better served playing Dallas or not. I'm not quite sure. You know, I just think that they know each other so well. They're so familiar.
Yeah.
The only difference, though, is, you know, Jim Hiller's the coach. Now, the head coach of L.A., you know, it's not McClellan anymore. And obviously, McClellan, the coach at Edmonton. So, you know, but Hiller was on the bench with them, I think, so, in the past. So, he knows Edmonton very well.
Yeah.
Tough series.
No doubt.
I think a lot of the first-round series are really, really good. I mean, the Tampa-Florida series, I know we're not going to talk about it a whole lot here. But that's going to be outstanding. You got two really good goaltenders. Boston's Toronto traditionally yields a really good series. And I think Colorado, Winnipeg, you know, the way the Jets are playing, heck, you know, they could beat the Avs, you know, even though McKinnon and McCarr and all their guys seem to be playing well again. So I think we're in store for a really fun NHL first round playoffs. Really do.
Yeah, it should be fun. I mean, GK, where we live in the South Bay, I mean, it ramps up the further the Kings go. Like, unfortunately, they have not advanced past the first round. You could tell the excitement, though, when it is the Stanley Cup playoff time. Your thoughts on the Kings, yeah, GK, as they go into this first round series?
You know what? Just, I'm going to kind of piggyback off of what Carpi just said. It's just, it's, and what you just said, Arash, it's Groundhog Day all over again, right? Yeah. With this matchup. I'm just looking forward to some really great hockey, and that's what the Stanley Cup provides, right? That's what these playoffs provide. Because like I said in the first segment, hockey players go all out, man, and hopefully for this, they will go all out. I am kind of concerned though, Carpi, about the Kings, and that penalty box, because I don't think that that's something, God bless them. I think that's another reason why I love hockey and I love the Kings as my secondary team, that they kind of stay out of that penalty box. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see. That'll be interesting to see if they can keep their cool and, you know, not kind of talk less the whole entire matchup that they're along with them. Do you foresee them, Carpi, contending for this cup at all? Maybe making it, you know, past the first round, you know, like going a little further than they've gone in the past?
Honestly, no. I was real disappointed with them last night. And here's the game. They're playing one of the worst teams in the league. Just like I was a little disappointed with Vegas last night, to be honest. If you're playing the bottom teams in the league, you got to take care of your business. Mm-hmm. And for LA to sweat it, you know, they gave up a 3-1 lead in the third period? Like, boom, 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 they're trailing 4-3, and now suddenly they're chasing the game against one of the worst teams in the league. To me, that's just not a good sign of a healthy team, okay? And I am worried about their special teams. If they're going to be killing penalties against McDavid, Draisaitl, and Hyman, they're in big trouble. I'm sorry. They're just not going to. They're not going to beat Edmonton playing that way. So, and you know, if Talbot is not 100% sharp, they're losing. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And I know you guys over in SoCal want to see the Kings make a nice little run. It'd be really cool for our coverage, obviously, and not to mention for the great fans in Southern California who supported this team, you know, going back to 1967. My God, I remember, you know, I remember the Kings playing in Long Beach before the Forum opened. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a great tradition here. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. Hey, real quick.
Yes.
If I may, you know, the Kings have been going to Salt Lake City the last 3 years to play Vegas.
Yes.
In the Frozen Fury game. Now that Utah has taken the Coyotes from Arizona and the Kings will obviously be playing Utah, you know, 3 times a year, what happens to that Frozen Fury game with Vegas?
It's a great point, and that was my next question, because you had a tweet yesterday that I really liked, and I think Vegas, similarly to Los Angeles, and first of all, you were at that game in Caesar's Palace back in 91, 92, was it, Carpi? They played the New York Rangers. I mean, so the Kings have done a very good job, obviously, once they got Wayne Gretzky, of growing the sport, of, you know, playing games in Las Vegas and Utah and Phoenix and Seattle and things like that. And so you had a great point where the Phoenix market, the Arizona market, is now available following the Coyotes relocating to Salt Lake. And again, despite the fact that the league basically said, you know, the Coyotes franchise is just kind of like on pause. I don't know if that group's going to get their act together. They've had a very hard time getting the land, getting the funding. So they're going to give them 5 years to figure it out. I was thankfully, I got to see one game at that arena at Arizona State. It seats less than 5,000 fans. So, you know, and we talked about it, Carp, like you can't, You could have a team play there for a couple of years, but the way this was progressing, like, this was not fair to those players to play there for the next 5 years. But I think you're right. I think it's a battle. Like, Vegas and Los Angeles are going to go after that Phoenix market.
You know what? Vegas will probably get it when it's all said and done, because the NHL is going to say, you know, L.A., you could have had this market to yourself long before the Coyotes ever surfaced from Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, I don't know if you know this. Part of Vegas's TV market is San Bernardino County.
Did not know that.
There's a part of San Bernardino County in California that is considered Vegas's media TV territory.
Wow.
So, but, you know, someone asked me last night, all right, if Vegas gets Phoenix or all of Arizona, what happens if and when the Coyotes resurface? And I said, I guess the league will deal with it when and if that comes about. But I was told by somebody at the Knights that they were talking to the league, and the league apparently is ready to see that, you know, because they can't stay in Utah because, you know, that team's got the Utah team's going to have its, you know, thing. You know, I mean, remember the Kings used to claim Vegas as theirs.
Oh, for sure. And remember? By the way, like, they and so, you know, just to kind of give you guys behind the scenes, because it's usually a very popular question I get, you know, why Southern California, Las Vegas, Hawaii? Well, that was, you know, before Las Vegas became its own professional sports town.
Sure.
The territory for the Lakers, the Dodgers, for example, their regional broadcast territory was Southern California, Las Vegas, Hawaii. Now, obviously that changes when Las Vegas, you know, gets their own hockey team. So that's no longer part of the territory for the Kings. But the
right.
Kings, you know, Carpi, and you could attest to this last question for you. I mean, they would play a like annual preseason game there, and like they
Frozen Fury.
Frozen Fury. So, and again, the Golden Knights, because of Bill Foley, they've done a really good job of trying to expand their market. So you get the sense that Phoenix will be part of Las Vegas territory, and that they'll play some.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I do, and I also think they will remain in Idaho.
Yeah.
And Montana. Even though it would make sense for the Utah franchise to have Idaho and even Montana as part of its regional TV area. But I think they're going to keep – Foley's going to insist on keeping Montana because he has a home there.
Yeah.
You know, his ranch is up there and everything. And Idaho has been a part of Vegas's thing for years, so since the team came to league. So I think that's what I'm – it just bears watching down the road. That's all.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting time. I think Salt Lake City is a fantastic market. They'll do well by that team in terms of like they'll move into a first class facility. I know that they're going to build them a new practice facility, and it's going to be great. But listen, it's one of those things where like I'm glad I got to see a Coyotes Golden Knights game in a small arena like that. But again, it was not fair for them to continue to play there for the next 5+ years.
The league was losing money.
Yeah, exactly. There's no doubt about that.
Nothing to happen.
Yeah.
So,
Harvey,
I know we're up against.
No, we've got to go. But let's chat soon. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again on Monday. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying, stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Currency chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces, shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a fiend.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.